This is Living Lab. I'm Heather Goldstone. You may be familiar with the acronym STEM, standing for Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math. Well, Gil Newton has a slightly different version. Strategies that engage minds. Newton is the head of a new STEM academy for 7th and 8th graders in Sandwich. The new public middle school aims to infuse all its coursework, including English and art, with the collaborative, experimental, and tech-heavy methods of real-world science. I visited Gil Newton in the midst of last-minute preparations for the Academy's opening day, September 2nd.
Whoop, there he is.
Beautiful. Heather?
All right, thank you.
Hi, good to see you again. Hi. Why don't we step into my office then?
Sure.
There's a lot going on around here.
Newton leads me through a room cluttered with boxes and through a door with no handle. The office on the other side is surprisingly put together. I ask Newton how the STEM Academy got its start.
What was the impetus for the STEM Academy?
Okay, well, a couple of years ago, our new superintendent, Dr. Richard Canfield, proposed the idea of a STEM Academy in which we would bring all of the 7th and 8th graders from the 3 K-8 buildings into the A wing of the high school. But rather than just move the students and do the same kind of instruction that we have been doing for so many years, we decided to transform the way in which we teach. And we're doing this in a number of ways. First of all, we've adopted something called project-based learning, which is an inquiry-based program. And all of our teachers and staff for the last two summers have been trained from representatives from the Buck Institute for Education, which is the organization that excels in project-based learning. In addition to that, we also decided to create teams of teachers so that the teachers would have the same common preparation time every single day, and they would have an opportunity to work together to find interdisciplinary projects, to involve the students in a number of different authentic type questions that would deal with their community. And then we also decide to offer a greater menu of programs for students, too. So every 7th and 8th grader is going to take an engineering class. Every 7th and 8th grader has an expanded art program. And we also have a menu of electives, including things like computer programming, environmental science, archaeology, debate, journalism, and a number of others as well. So because the research tends to support middle school students being very active and beginning to develop an interest in career opportunities, we felt that this would be the perfect age to begin this initiative. So we're still teaching the standards. We're still taking the MCAS exam. We still have our benchmarks and our state requirements. But embedded in that is this new mode of delivering instruction, which is project-based learning. And the teachers are working together, both within the disciplines and also across the teams, to develop all these new opportunities. I'm really hoping, too, that we can bring the community into the school. I have three very strong advisory groups. One is a parents' advisory group, and they have been absolutely fantastic in helping us and supporting us. The second is a science and engineering group, which consists of a lot of professionals in business and from places like Woods Hole, so we can take advantage of the situation we have here in Cape Cod. And then the third is the Arts and Humanities Club, Arts and Humanities Advisory Board, which also consists of professionals in music, architecture, theater, and the arts, so that we can expand that too.
You mentioned the Parents Advisory Group. Mm-hmm. I mean, while this sounds like a school that I would think was really fun to go to, I can imagine as a parent there being a lot of potentially fear and concern. I mean, this is essentially an experiment with their children. Mm-hmm. How have the parents in the community responded to this idea?
Well, you know, at first they were very reluctant and very concerned about this. But the fact that we had this 1 year to prepare for this have allowed us to have a series of meet and greet nights. I've had the opportunity to meet with the parents group many times. I've talked to parents throughout the community, sometimes individually, sometimes in different meetings. I've given presentations to a lot of other community groups too. And I think most of the parents are excited about these opportunities because they understand that these are the skills that students have to have. The students will have Chromebooks here, so we have to have a one-to-one technology component to all of our classes. They understand the needs for developing critical thinking skills. All of the research tends to point in this area. And again, we're still doing basics. I still want to emphasize that. The students are still going to have their English class and they're still going to have their basic math class, but we're going to be doing more. And we're doing it in a different way. So I think right now, there's a lot of anxiety about this, but it's a positive anxiety. It's an excitement. And I think there'll probably be a lot of sleep-deprived adults and children, including myself the night before. But we have put together something really special. And it's going to just span out to all the grades in the K through 6 as well as in the high school as well. And if you look at the needs that children have to have today in order to succeed in our society, we think we are beginning to address those. So the parents, I met with them very early on. I think it's really important that they become a part of this, as well as the students. I had many conversations and visits to the 6th and 7th graders last year, which will be our inaugural class in the STEM Academy. And so I think they're also looking forward to it.
Where is the funding coming from for construction, for the technology? I mean, this sounds like it could be an expensive school.
Again, it's amazing that we were able to do this within our budget without a Proposition 2.5 override. And again, I give Dr. Canfield a great deal of the credit for putting that together. I also, you know, we work closely together with the Finance Committee, the Selectmen, a town manager. I think all of us working together collaboratively made that happen. We renovated a portion of the high school, and therefore we didn't need a new building. So we saved about $15 million just from that alone. We were able to enact some savings by going towards this one-to-one technology. So a lot of the materials that we need in the classes are now online resources, as opposed to spending, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars for outdated textbooks. So we were very, very careful with the dollar, and obviously we can always use more resources. But I think that I can't think of another situation in any other town that has been able to embark on this sort of transformation this cost effectively.
Could we see one of the classrooms?
Absolutely. Let's go take a tour.
We enter a hallway just steps from Newton's office.
So this is now the STEM Academy. This is the A-wing of the building that you're in. And what's going to happen is on this floor, we've created some new classrooms, the two engineering classrooms and the two art classrooms that I had mentioned. We have a lot of offices and teacher work areas. Because the teachers are sharing rooms in the high school and sharing space here, we have places for them to work with their colleagues in a collaborative way, as you will see down the end of the hall here. So we've created some new workspaces.
We duck into an engineering classroom first.
One of the teachers is in.
There are still a lot of boxes in this classroom.
There are a lot of boxes.
Are they going to be ready in a week?
Well, we'll have to ask this gentleman. This is Mr. Trimble. Mr. Trimble is the engineering teacher for the 8th grade, and this is going to be his classroom. And I don't know, Peter, maybe you want to say a couple of words about your plans for the students, because he'll be doing robotics with the students.
That sounds exciting.
Yes. We have Project Lead the Way, Automation and Robotics for the 8th grade engineering class. I intend on having the kids build things like working elevators that are computer operated going up and down, race cars, and also I'm going to do some other engineering things with bridges and towers and that sort of thing as well. So a combination of things to keep them active and interested in learning about engineering.
Aside from a lot of boxes, there are no individual desks in here. It's all tables with, four seats per table. Is there a different philosophy and a different classroom structure that goes along with this kind of STEM Academy?
Yes, there is. And truth be told, I have, for numbers of years, done a lot of collaborative grouping. So my desks have been similar in previous buildings that I've been in. So I often have kids working in groups of three or four. And that collaboration, of course, is something that's done in the real world every single day. So I'm a firm believer in that sort of teaching.
Once we get our swimming pool fixed, which should be up and running in October, in addition to expanding swim teams and athletics programs for the STEM Academy, I'm hoping that we'll also use the engineering classes to work with remotely operated vehicles and submersibles. And I know that Peter's done some work with that. The other engineering teacher also led a workshop last year with some of the upcoming STEM students on ROVs. And we had a lot of support and volunteer work from a number of engineers. So we're going to expand that too and use the swimming pool for robotics as well. And what's also going to happen in here is we have new computers for all the students as well. They're going to be put in probably today or tomorrow. These boxes here that you see are all robotics equipment for the kids. As Peter said, we've adopted this Project Lead the Way, which is a national curriculum for both 7th and 8th grade.
Across the hall is a soon-to-be art classroom.
Here she is in here.
Hi.
This is going to be the 8th grade art classroom, and it is going to be, has been completely renovated because it used to be an office area. So new cabinets, new sinks. There's a kiln over here that's going to go in. And right now the teachers here are unpacking all their materials. Mrs. Ganju, who's also a technology specialist and expert, is taking on the 8th grade art program. So, Diana, maybe you want to say something about your plans for the art class.
Sure. This art program is going to be a combination of traditional studio materials. So we're going to do all your, you know, the drawing, the painting, the sculpture, etc. But we're incorporating the one-to-one environment, the Chromebooks, in every project, either for research, creation, critiques, feedback, reflection. So hopefully to make it more approachable for students that, you know, enjoy art or don't yet.
Along those lines, there have got to be students coming in saying, but I don't like science and math. Where do I fit into this? And to have the technology even being part of art class, is there any refuge, I guess, maybe, for kids who don't necessarily feel that this is the right fit for them?
Well, and I think Diana just talked about that. What we're going to show all of the students that there is a connection, but if there's a student who is artistically talented or talented in literature or music, we're offering programs in those areas too. For example, if someone has a talent in chorus or band, they can sign up for that program, and they meet just as often as their English class or their science class. And this art program is actually more than we're currently getting in the 7th and 8th grade. So they will have... It'll alternate with engineering, which I kind of like that idea because I do see a connection between the two. It's another reason why we put them on the right across from each other. The students would have, for example, Diana's art class for half a year, and then they would have Peter's engineering class for the second half of the year or vice versa. So we hope that all of the teachers will start to show students that there are connections. You don't necessarily have to want to go into a science to see how science is in everyday life. And at the same time, we want both science geeks like myself to understand that there is art, there is mathematics, there is literature, there's communication in everything that we do as well. And that's the real world today. Those are the skills kids have to have. I know, Heather, you're also a scientist. You know, as you're demonstrating here, you have to have communication skills. You have to understand the technology. You have to be able to look at the historical context in which events take place. All of that is linked, and this is the age group that really will pay attention to that. And a lot of these students don't know what they're interested in, so we give them this wide menu of opportunities with all these great programs, and I'm hoping that there'll be something during the day that they will find like a hook, something that really captures their attention. So maybe they'll just love her art class. In fact, I know they will. But, you know, they'll say, well, I'm not crazy about science and math, but I want to go to school today because I have my art class today. And it's, I think that's going to happen in all of our subject areas.
Is there an opportunity in either the engineering or, in this case, in the art class for those two worlds, other than perhaps using your Chromebook to do some research or to comment on an art project, but to actually start merging technology and art?
Absolutely. My background is dual in both of those areas. I see technology as a creative tool. It's always been a creative tool. Even if it may not look creative, like programming to some doesn't look creative, but it is. You are creating something. So just as I'm thinking of art as a study of creativity and being able to express yourself, I think fits into, you know, any of it. Art reflects culture and history throughout time. So one thing that I'm hoping to be able to do is bring us to a point towards the end of the course where the students can use any medium, technology or studio-based, to create art that represents their culture. And that's where I think we're going to see a technology influence. Having been a technology specialist for several years, for most students, not all, but for most of this age group, technology plays a role in their life, even if it's television or at minimum music. So if we can have them reflect upon what that means about them as a culture, and they can use art to express that unique place that they are in the world, then I think we've bridged that.
One way that technology is a part of a lot of kids' lives these days is their cell phone, texting, Facebook. What is the policy of the STEM Academy regarding things like social media or using their technology for communication during the school day?
The students are going to go through a training on the proper use of technology. We have a technology specialist here, Josh Rodericks, and he's going to spend some time before we roll out the Chromebooks working with each class and explain the proper use of it and the use academically. But the policy is to encourage students to use their technology. We're not going to be taking away smartphones. We're not going to be taking away iPads or anything like that. We want them to use it, but we want them to use it in the context of their classes. And so it'll be up to the teachers to set the expectations for that and to show students that this is a very important tool in whatever subject that they're studying. In terms of social media, you know, this is a reality that we have to deal with today. And you're right, the kids have Instagram, they have Facebook, Twitter. And so I see that that is going to become incorporated into the STEM Academy. But because they are 12, 13, and 14 years old, we have to take the time to show them the correct use of it. Diana has done an outstanding job with that in her previous life as technology specialist, and I think every teacher in the STEM Academy is aware of that. But it's a reality. We have to deal with it. And it is a way in which kids communicate. So it's something that will be part of what we do as well.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks
Diana. How's it coming along? Okay.
You know, this is very promising. This is one of my supplies.
Ganju shows us a single paint roller, then asks Newton whether she should check the loading dock for more. Clearly, this school is not ready for opening day and has only days to fix that.
How much more chaotic is this right now than the start of a normal school year would be?
Well, it is a little bit more for everybody, and we're just counseling patients. We'll get through this. If everything isn't all perfect the first day, which it really never is. I mean, this is my 34th year in Sandwich, so it's always like this. But things are happening. The teachers are here. The rooms have been painted and cleaned, and they're ready to go. So I think things are going to be fine. I can tell you we have a special assembly for the kids September 2nd. I'm, of course, going to bring them down to the auditorium at about 9 o'clock in the morning, and I'll introduce them to the staff that they may not know yet, such as the assistant principal and the guidance counselor. But then we have a videotaped message from Senator Elizabeth Warren welcoming the kids to the Sandwich STEM Academy, which is really nice. She's in Congress that day, so she couldn't be here, but she's sending them a video message instead. And then the kids will get into their classes for the rest of the day.
Part of the change here, in addition to the curriculum change, is that you're going from 7th and 8th graders being in a school with the younger students in the system to the 7th and 8th graders being in a wing of the high school. Mm-hmm. And I know that can be a source of some apprehension, but perhaps also of resources for these students.
I actually think it's a good thing. When I started teaching in Sandwich, we were a 7th through 12th high school. And then a lot of the concerns when they're moving 7th and 8th graders to the new elementary buildings, they go, oh, my goodness, the 8th graders with 1st graders, it won't work. And, of course, now you're hearing things like, oh, my goodness, the 7th and 8th graders with the older kids. Well, I taught high school here for many years, and we have terrific kids. We have made a very strong effort to isolate us as much as possible. We have our own lunches. We have our own gym classes. When the high school teachers are teaching electives, they're coming into the STEM Academy. Our kids will never be in the high school portion unless they have teacher supervision. But in the long term, I think what's going to happen is I know a lot of our high school kids are very talented, and I can foresee them coming with teacher permission and supervision into our classrooms and working with our kids. For many years, I had my 12th graders go down to the 4th grade and took them out in the field and taught them forest ecology. So I think it's going to settle down. I think we're going to be working very closely with the high school, and I think everything's going to be fine.
Newton says the students will have one resource they've never had before.
We have for the first time a guidance counselor. They've never had a guidance counselor in the 7th and 8th grade. Her background is strong background in social work, and she's already developed a questionnaire that's gone out to parents about what their needs might be. She's already met with some of the students and parents. She will be helping students with their adjustment here in the academy, helping with study skills issues for that age group, and also making sure that the scheduling for students meets their needs. But she also has a lot of great plans for developing career awareness for the kids at this age, which I think is terrific.
As we head back to the entrance, Newton points to a bulletin board decorated with the words, strategies that engage minds.
So not just sticking with the science, technology, engineering, and math.
No, we've expanded our arts program. We have a strong English program as well. We have a journalism class which has over 100 kids enrolled in it. We have classes in history like archaeology and debate. We'll be doing geography for the first time in the 7th grade, and we have a world history class in the 8th grade. We're also offering the kids Spanish, French, or Chinese, so they can take a foreign language. And like I said, each team of teachers has English, social studies, math, science, and a special education teacher.
So can you just tell us what your version of STEM stands for?
My version of STEM, or our version of STEM, is strategies that engage minds.
That was STEM Academy Director Gil Newton. We wish him and his students a successful school year. I'm Heather Goldstone. Thanks for listening.